At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is 93.7 The Ticket.
Look at me, short. Look at me, short. I'm the captain now.
Three-time national champion, Vershawn Jackson.
Oh, I got a bunch. All alone is Vershawn Jackson. And Vershawn, he'll get it to the 24-yard line.
Coming at you live from the Copples Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. On air and online at theticketfm.com. Presented by Wingstop. Here he is, Vershawn Jackson.
Ah, yeah!
Da, 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 da. In the words of Bernie the Boxer, I'm back. Did you miss me? The captain, the ticket, 93.7. Oh, we got some people in the saddle. I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty strong today. I got a little bit of rest, you know, and I'm just feeling a little Ric Flair-ish. Woo! All right, then. Without further ado.
It's loading.
Still loading.
It's loading.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Who is the highest paid coach in Nebraska football history?
Scott Frost.
Mm-hmm. I had to do a look back. Mm-hmm. So I got to go back to move forward. And I said, okay. I'm gonna start at Scott Frost game one, Akron. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember the
game, the thunderstorm.
There you go. See, I was going to ask that
tornado,
question.
Tornado, everything. I don't know. Was it warning or watch? Lightning. That's what it was. Lightning. Thank you.
Storm delay. I was at that game. Probably that tornado. Was a crazy game. If you talk about a precursor,
this shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So right after the championship game with Central Florida, well, so-called championship game at Central Florida.
Against Memphis. Or are you talking conference or the Peach Bowl? Okay, the Peach Bowl.
Yes.
Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, yep.
Yes. Right after that, he was named head coach of Nebraska.
He was named head coach of Nebraska after the conference championship game. He still coached. UCF was also recruiting for Nebraska.
What was his first move right after that? What was his first acquisition? Who or what did he do first?
Oh, yeah, no, he talked to Adrian Martinez.
Talk? What do you mean talk?
He offered.
There you go. Offered. Adrian Martinez was the number one guy on his list.
He was still committed to Tennessee at the time.
He convinced them to decommit from Tennessee and commit to Nebraska.
In early January, because his first commit was C.J. Smith, who never saw substantial time on the field at Nebraska. From the state of Florida.
We'll dig into the games, game by game, and kind of look at some stats. Look at traditions. And when I say traditions, I mean traditionally where the stats have lied in the last 4 years. So wherever they're at, they are what they are, but the stats tell the story. Whenever we get through, the stats tell the story of the game. So I figure we'll get into a little bit more stat stuff. We'll get into some X's and O's of the game of football.
Uh-oh.
And just, you know, get out to the Friday. Listen, it's about Nebraska football right now. I'm excited because they got Nebraska football camp coming up. Mm-hmm. Friday Night Lights tonight.
Big recruiting weekend.
Friday Night Lights tonight.
Yeah.
You know, we have to put our best foot forward. And when I say we, I mean the recruiters, the coaches. When these guys are coming in on Friday Night Lights, there's always that diamond in the rough that – runs a 4.4, and you'd be like, who are you? Run that again. Mm-hmm. Then he runs a 4.39, and it's like, okay, we don't know who you are, but we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, so now is the time to really be evaluating the guys that are seniors. You got to evaluate that talent. Mm-hmm. And you have to do a good job and say, okay, where is this guy fit? And I think we have to start recruiting guys who are going to be in the system guys, not guys who we think can come play for us day one, but guys who can come, they can develop, they can hit the weights, but they have it in their hearts to work hard. No one has to tell them, hey, you got to get out there and work hard. They already come equipped with that because there's high schoolers that work hard that might not be the best, but because of their hard work, they turn to the best. And that's what we want.
I'm curious about that because there are pockets of America where the high schools are in line with the universities with the top programs. Mm-hmm. And what you want for Nebraska is a system to be in place where Nebraska's system is the preferred system of the high schools in that area so that those players are already prepped when they get here. That does not happen here, and that is a problem. That is a problem to not have to not have those things in place.
But hopefully we got a system. Hopefully that that the alarm has sounded loud enough, wide enough for them to understand how to put that system into place. Hopefully going and get Whipple, we start to put an offense where we can say, okay, we're going to run a pro-style offense and be 55-45 pass to run.
Well, but also for high school coaches to get on board and to learn and partner with the university and its coaching staff to produce players who are ready-made for the system at the University of Nebraska. Mm. Now, hard workers, we know we can find a handful of hard workers. What I want are hard workers who also know the system. I don't want to come in behind all the time. Every year, Nebraska's behind because players don't know their system. They don't know the words, the latchkey words that get you from high school to college. They don't know the vocabulary. They don't know. They understand the hard work, but nobody is working at the level in high school that they will have to at the University of Nebraska. So across the board, mm-hmm. either you simplify the system so that it's consistent, you make it available to local coaches and in camps so that folks learn as a sophomore or junior what's going to be required of them. Mm-hmm. And then it's easily measured because you get to see Nebraska high school kids in the system that they would run to the university, and you get to see their movement in that system. How do they athletically respond to the system? Nebraska puts itself in a bind. Hopefully they remove the bind and they allow themselves to recruit some kids who were ready-made for play.
Yeah, I mean, they better go ahead, Nick.
No, that's really interesting. I honestly had not thought about that to where we sit here as when we watch high school football games and go, oh, I wonder how this guy would look at defensive end for Nebraska. I wonder how this guy would look at wide receiver. But if he's in that system.
How about recruiting somebody who's exactly. been in the system that we run yeah. so I can see what kind of edge rusher he is?
Yeah, yeah. But that would require knowing what the system is.
Well,
identity?
Knowing what the system is, meaning knowing that for years, if you go back to Steve Taylor, you can probably go back to Jerry Taggy.
There's a prototype.
The way that the plays yeah. are called, 43 dive pass, 2 delay flat, it transcends time. Doesn't matter. Everybody knows on 43 dive pass, 2 delay flat, you're in a pro-style set with two backs and one tight end. 43 dive pass, 2 delay flats tell everybody what to do.
What kind of tight end do you need in this system? Mm-hmm. Remember, we've gotten the full range all the way from Chris Hickman to Travis Vokolek, right? And each one is required to do a different thing. Jay and I were talking mm-hmm. about that. It doesn't allow for tendency because you don't know who's on the field and why.
Well, you're right. Right. But like, how many yeah. tight ends? But how many tight ends? Now, we played with three tight ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying that there's three tight ends right now that can play at the University of Nebraska? Who are the top three guys? If they're hurt, they're out.
Does it depend on what you're asking
you
them to
Vokolek?
Do?
No. Vokolek is the all-around tight end. He can do it all. Okay?
Can he? Because that wasn't his job last year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Well, that was not his job last year.
Are you recruiting?
We didn't throw it to him
Austin
as much.
Allen. Yes. Austin
but
Allen
we didn't
was the
throw it. I know that. But we didn't throw it to him as much. And when you have two weapons like that, I thought we could have maybe delayed flat, run Austin Allen on a drag.
Well,
and if the safety
split.
Well,
get him
split,
on the seam.
Yeah, that's
put
what
him
I'm,
on the seam.
No. Listen. So you're going on a drag. If the safety split, you run the seam. That's an option route. You run the seam. If the safeties sit, now you sit right in front of the safeties right there. On the backside, remember I said 2 delay flat. That tells the tight end, 1,001, 1,002 on the defensive end. Let him go and go to the flat.
Run the space.
Run the space. Okay, so.
And you throw him open. Here's the thing. If you're looking at Bellevue West as a prototype school in Nebraska or in the metro mm-hmm. who produces a certain type of tight end, then you have to figure out, one, does that fit what we're going to do? And will they feel like they have an understanding? They won't walk in the door at zero. Because when you walk in the door at zero, meaning you don't know the scheme, you don't know the vocabulary, you don't know the physicality required, you don't know any of those things, you're actually not at zero. You're at net.
Starting behind schedule.
Right?
Who's top three tight ends?
Vokolek, Brewington, Rollins.
Okay. So let's say we went into the season with those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives you the best – who's the best blocker of the bunch?
Vokolek.
Okay. Who's the best receiving of the bunch?
Brewington.
Who's the combination of all of that?
Rollins.
Perfect. You got a perfect three-headed monster.
Until Vokolek gets hurt, mm-hmm. and then you lose that facet of it, and then what you're going to end up doing is not taking tight end number four. You're going to take tight end number six because he does a thing that does not appear when Vokolek is out.
Well,
and you have to train them in system, scheme, physicality, otherwise.
A.J. Rollins and Brewington, both of those kids, and I told Brewington this when he came on the show, is they are going to have to make not only a commitment to the summer,
mm-hmm.
a triple commitment to the summer, mm-hmm. because not only do they got to get bigger, stronger, faster, they also have to gain some good weight, strength weight, not the – You know, like that pudge weight. No. Mm. They have to gain strength weight. And I think when I say both, I mean A.J. Rollins and also Brewington, I think they both have to put on at least 15 pounds of good weight, of strength weight.
I think that we talked to them last night, and the feeling that Brewington had is, I want to be the best all around, period. Like, I want to be able to do everything. He goes, he said, I'm a problem in the passing game. I just have to get out there. He goes, he thinks he's the best passing receiver.
Pretty
he
good.
Also thinks he's the best blocker. Which is again, all things in line if they're going to accept the responsibility, because now he's been in the system and he knows what's required. But we burned 2 years of not being able to have this young man at 10 instead of at 3. Because we understand we've got two plays that we can run with him on the field where we know we are pretty dominant and effective. But they also – that is a tendency. So you know when he's on the field.
I agree and I disagree. I disagree here. And when he says he's a better blocker.
He wants to be a better blocker.
Right. Well, if you want to be a better blocker, there's a couple things you have to do that I don't know necessarily that we do well without the coach's supervision. Fair. Watch film.
Fair.
Watch film. Know tendencies of the defensive ends you're going to play. The thing that I learned when I went to the NFL was how to be a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had that at Nebraska, I would have been a much
better
player.
You're making my point for me. So here's the thing. You at Nebraska is A.J. Rollins at Bellevue West. And he goes into Nebraska thinking, here are the things that the skills that I have, and here's the things that I do well. But it's you going into the NFL going, wait a minute, there's a whole nother master's class that I got to take.
This is what I should have done in Nebraska.
Right, things that I'm behind the game on. And I think Nebraska has the ability, Becton has the ability to curve the bridge, shorten the bridge mm-hmm. for these young men in what they call, what they train on, what they drill on. But they've got 3 months between now and Dublin for these players to advance themselves. The easiest way for them to advance themselves is, drum roll, film study.
Easy.
Film study. Like understanding what's going to be required of them so that they know what they need to do, and then they can focus on learning how to do it. But knowing what you need to do is 60% of the game in college football. That athletic arrogance that means you can put your foot in the ground and make sure that foot is in the right place. Mm. That's where this program has been missing. They will go through, they'll have 11 players, and 9 of them will be on time and in place. And then somebody will be one step off, and it will cost them.
That has, again, that one player you're talking about has to get put in check by the other 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not coaches can only do so much. The coaches are not out there running routes, blocking people, hitting people. At the end of the day, we have to call these young men to be real men and to be on time and to be to know what you're doing.
But we can't forget what it's like to be 20 years old. Vershawn, you've told 100 stories about Osborne and the corrections that he had to make. He didn't put it on you. He put it on himself to get you to do what was required.
Well, here's my point. If you know that there's some going to be some issues, right, based on history, don't you put something in place, policies and procedures in place, so that that doesn't happen again? I don't want
high five.
I don't want another Vershawn Jackson to go through
high
not
five.
Knowing.
High
no,
five.
I want to go find a Vershawn Jackson to tell a blah blah blah.
I think they have.
This
them.
Is what it does.
I think they have the personnel. I'm not sure that they've bridged talent and production. And talent and production require comfort, consistency, quality.
Husker power and power are two different things. Okay? You know what Husker power is, Nick? From what you've heard, what do you feel like Husker power is? Because everybody, when they be going, Husker.
What are you doing when other people, when the people in charge aren't watching?
Husker.
What are you doing?
Well, it should be the collective.
Power! That's not it.
It should be the collective movement mission.
I'm telling you.
Like collective movement mission that all the time, no matter what happens. So I'm prepared for Vershawn, even if I don't know that Vershawn is going what he needs from me. Whatever Vershawn needs when he shows up in here, Husker Power shows up because I'm ready for him.
Here's Husker Power.
I've done the work already.
Here's what it is, so we can put it to bed.
Help me,
okay? Husker Power is the ability to go 150% after you get tired. See what's missing from the current players, and I can't say staff, but definitely players, is that drive out of all of them that once I got tired, Nick, you work out. There's some things that you do when you get to the end of the workout, right, and you're getting at the end and I'm tired. So how many times do you go and say, oh, I'm going to do a fifth set. I'm going to do a sixth set. After I'm only supposed to do four, but you know what? Let me push my body a little bit more. So it's the ability to go hard after you get tired, and mind over matter. So I think
– Well, but that's the accountability thing. I've always taken that as accountability and responsibility, that I've got to do the work so that when you need me on fourth down, no matter how much work I've done to that point, I'm ready.
But somebody's got to hold you accountable.
Well, first of all, as you said, individually we have to hold
– We don't. We can't.
I have to look when we as a team, you and I go through our workouts and we go through practice. That's one level of work. The greater level of work is the work that I'm going to force myself to stay and run 50 more routes and catch 50 more balls,
or go to
the batting cage and take 100 more swings, or I'm going to go shoot 50 more free throws, and I'm the only one that can do that.
You ready for this one?
What's important about that, though, is that it's purposeful as well. You can't just go in and like for baseball, for example, just go in and half bleep swings.
What am I working on?
It's not going to get you anywhere. It's going to hurt you rather than help you.
Let me just say this from a movie. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay, so you are a band of two can keep each other warm. If you're by yourself, I don't care how strong you are, if you're in the wilderness and you're by yourself, that's a problem. But if it's me and DP, now we can kind of huddle up together when we get cold, figure out some things, do things together. Now, if it's me, DP, and Nick, we got a heck of a chance of making it out.
But here's the thing. Somebody has to be the individual that's out front that sets the standard. Somebody had look, listen.
In every group,
there's got to be somebody. Group. And you go, you know what? You go, Coach, I'm going to go in the office and go, Coach Jackson, how can I play more? And you go, you know what? There's a way you can play more. You know how? Because that dude over there has worked himself to the point where he gets played. He's done the work. You need to get on his level.
Well, you got to outwork him.
You got to outwork him.
And then you got to know what you're doing and make plays.
But most importantly, you got to outwork yourself, because what you're doing by yourself ain't good enough.
Yeah,
it's not good enough.
It's just like that old cliche, you know, that if I wanted to be a mechanic, right, and I didn't go to school to be a mechanic, there's shade tree mechanics all over the place. Mm-hmm. Guys who've been working on cars by trial and error, and they figured this out and that out, right? Mm-hmm. if I wanted to be even a shade tree mechanic, I'd have to get with a shade tree mechanic. Mm-hmm. I can't call myself a mechanic. Now, let's go back to something because we were talking about film work. I don't want to forget this. I'm looking at my notes. I don't want to forget this. Everybody has little bitty TVs that we walk around with, sleep mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. talk with, mm-hmm. go to the bathroom with. Mm-hmm. We're riding down the highway doing 100 with it in our hand. How come we don't use this exact same thing to look at the film so that we can be better football
wait,
players?
Wait. Everywhere, since this technology was in play, my big issue with Nebraska Athletics is they don't do the film study they should. And I can tell because there's no comfortable movement. Like, they don't know what's coming before it comes. The anticipation has to be there. There's a handful of guys. But on
holistically,
Moss, that's not the
right.
– every team that I've coached in the last 10 years, technology was a part of it. Look, that was the advantage. That was the advantage over when we played. Because we had to go into a room and get the film, and we have some AV guy that had to cut up stuff and run it back and forth and do it to detail. Where now I can go on Huddle and I can pick 60 plays, break them down, email the link to the player, and then on to the next player. For every game that was ever played in the last 8 years that I coached, and my wife will verify it, I spent my time breaking down the player, the group, side of the ball, and then each player. So each player had the team evaluation off film, what we did well, what we didn't do, the notes that they're going to work on, the things they need to work on that day,
yeah,
Monday. Come Monday, right? Mm-hmm. Come Monday, you know what we need to work on. And then the player individually knows, I got to work on my footstep here on this trap play. I need to get on this option route. You know what? My hips were too high. I couldn't get out of it. That's how I got stopped. Or, you know what? This dude's manhandling me at the break. I need to be more physical in my reroute. All of that stuff happens before you even take the field on Monday. It's there. This is the thing. You ask these young dudes, and I always do. Nick's been here. I'll ask them a question. Are you going through your film study? Are you honoring this thing the right way? They will look you dead square in the eye because they know they could do more. And the other part of it is, as the coach, and remember, these kids are more students or more tech savvy than the coaches, but guess what? The coaches need to get caught up, so they need to put this stuff in play. And I think that's a way that you get across. I think the quickest way from 3 wins to 9 is film study. I'm just going to say it out loud. The easiest way is for them to know what's going to be required of them and how they're going to do it.
Yeah, if you play corner and you're playing Northwestern, don't you want to know the receiver that you're going to play with? I would know every little quirk, nook and cranny. We always used to – we could tell if a guy was going to lean back based on how much pressure he had on his hand. So knowing the nuances, understanding that, watching the guys that you're going to play against, and understand what you would do in that situation. Listen, the captain, the ticket, 93.7.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.